Next on our agenda is a zoning agreement amendment for 56 Cagney Cove?
Under file ZAA8 of 2010.
Okay. The applicant is Norbert Badu. You got to get the emphasis on the right syllable, my friend. Go ahead, Norbert. Maybe give us some information on the application here and what you're intending to do.
Yeah, we are asking for approval for a gazebo that we built without a permit. We were intending on getting the permit, but we were rushed with the snow and wanted to get it built before then. What we found since then is there is a caveat on the property that it requires a 67-foot setback from the rear yard, which isn't typical for most properties. We built our gazebo 50 feet back. In designing the gazebo, we tried to take all the concerns of the housing involved by building the gazebo into the ground 4 feet, so that the front of the gazebo is only about 3 feet out of the ground, and the back is about 8 feet, with the roof being a little bit higher. From what I understand, the caveat is intended for retention pond purposes to protect the homeowners from flooding, and we built in. We have the recommendation from the land planner said that 42 feet was where they expect the water to come up to, and we're 50 feet back. So.
When did you build the gazebo?
November.
And the bylaw states that you should build the gazebo 67 feet away from the back lot?
From the back, yeah.
And so you built it 50 feet?
50 feet, yeah.
And the water is projected to rise?
To 42.
In a 100-year storm.
In a 100-year,
so
yeah.
So just as added protection.
Okay. And tell me, what sort of construction of the gazebo is it?
It's wood. It's pressure-treated wood with cedar roof and asphalt shingles to match the house. It was based on a design we did in Grand Forks that was an award-winning design, and it's quite an attractive building.
So you're not asking for any variances in terms of what the actual size of the gazebo is?
No.
No, it's just, and it's anchored in the ground?
It's, we did a exposed aggregate concrete that it's anchored to, yeah. We did retaining walls. We did an extensive landscaping around it to make it look attractive.
So it'd be awfully tough to move.
It would be, yes. Very expensive, yes.
Okay, I understand there's some people with who are opposed.
Yeah, we've got one written opposition. There's some other folks here in support, and then a couple others in opposition.
So I have no more questions at this point.
If you want to stand down, Norbert, we'll listen to the other folks. You'll get a chance to come up and rebut anything that's said, if you like. Okay, so next I have in support Bob Town.
Sorry, I really don't have much else to say. I'm the owner of the property, and I think Norbert's pretty much said it at this point.
So you live at the property? He's a builder.
56 Decaney Cove.
Okay.
Okay, Bob.
Thank you.
Okay, in opposition, you can come down and speak if you wish, but you don't necessarily have to. I've got, is there anybody else that's here in support of this application before we move on? No? Frank Skibinski, did you want to come down and say why you're in opposition, Frank?
Good afternoon. My name is Frank Skibinski, and I'm covering up for my son, Wayne Skibinski. which he's gone on holidays, and he's got he's opposing the construction of what's there, and it's all broken down here. Are you people allowing me to read it all?
He's in Mexico right now? Is he the guy?
That's right.
Oh, yeah, 64 Duquesne Cove. You can read it if you want. We've got it in writing.
Oh, you have it in writing?
Yeah, he submitted it in writing to us.
All right.
And there's pictures, too.
Pictures showing the before and the after, so we understand that. Is there anything you want to make sure you point out to us that you know that we have the information? I guess it would be good for the applicant just to hear some of that, because he's got to come back and rebut what you say. So maybe just go through it and read it,
all right.
Frank, just to make sure we get it all properly on the record here.
Wayne Skibinski said, I am the resident owner of 64 Duquesne Cove and live two doors down from the applicant. This response is to let the panel know that I oppose the notion of amending the zoning agreement. Unfortunately, I will not be present my case in person because I will be away on a sun holiday in Mexico on March 6th to 20th. Therefore, I am presenting the following discussion paper. For background information, in September 2008, I moved into my residential property. As per attached photo number one, I am sharing a photo shot of a lake view from my deck. In September 2010, the residents of 56 Duquesne initiated a major excavation project in the backyard. At that time, during the excavation, there were several tons of earth dirt removed from their backyard. After the excavation task was completed, a major structural slab of concrete on grade was put in place. At this point, I was still not informed by the applicant of their intention, and there was still no poster of notice for construction provided in the front yard. In mid-October, the applicant began proceeding with the construction of a superstructure frame. This superstructure was erected. This had an immediate impact on my view of the lake. See photo 2. As of today, the superstructure still remains as is, and I presume the balance of construction has been deferred to this upcoming spring. The area footprint of this structure is approximately 10 feet by 20 feet. See photo 3. In late October 2010, I contacted the city 311 to inquire whether there was an application filed for the construction of this gazebo. According to the permit department, there were no records of evidence that an application was even made. Personally, I thought there was a violation of the zoning agreement, and today's session may have been totally avoidable if the proper channels were taken by initiating an application for a detached accessory building, a gazebo. However, today's discussion is to review the motion whether to allow an easement of the zoning agreement from 67 feet to 50 feet for the maintenance of any detached accessory building. Regardless, I will continue my rebuttal based on the following criteria. Is there a negative impact on neighborhoods or on neighbors' neighborhood? From my perspective, this definitely has a negative impact on my view. Again, by reference photo 2. As you will note, this will so-called superstructure of the gazebo that is still under construction. It has now created a substantial blockage of the view of the lake from within the house and on the deck. As well, I also believe this will contribute to the devalue of my property value. 2, is the application consistent with planning Winnipeg and secondary plans? All I can say is whether the resident of 56 Duquesne Cove and their hired builder contractor made an attempt of goodwill with the city in order to seek clarification of their project, that is, excessive excavation and to construct the gazebo. As of today, in my opinion, the so-called gazebo is still under the construction phase. And this hearing is about the notion whether to amend the zoning agreement in order to maintain a gazebo. I am confused about this terminology. Three, is the variance a minimum modification to the zoning bylaw to relieve injurious effect? To my understanding of this caveat, it was to preserve and maintain the city's water retention basin in order to accommodate the storm water capacity that was based on the 100-year design probability. If this is the case, with all the excavation of the material that took place and with the adjusted setback, how will this impact on the surrounding properties in the event of this occurrence for flooding? Four, is the application compatible with the area? Within the Island Lakes housing subdivision, I estimate that there may be up to 300 home owners more than that have taken properties, although there are no established site development guidelines for homeowners within the subdivision. There may be a risk to the community losing their prospective green space and aesthetic ambience of the subdivision. For reference, I am providing an aerial photo view of the Decaney block, see photo 4. If this notion is passed, what prevents that this occurrence may not happen again? And suddenly, this community becomes at risk of losing their green space and possibly the goodwill among neighbors within the Island Lakes community. This concludes my discussion. Again, thank you for your consideration. Yours truly, Wayne Skabinski.
Okay, thank you, Frank. Any questions of the presenter?
Oh, thank you, Frank.
Appreciate it. We've got another party here in opposition. Hoi Yu.
Good evening. Okay, I'm the
And your address, Hoi, is?
60, which is right beside the gazebo.
Okay.
Okay, so my family and I have been living in this location for 20 years, since it was built in 92. And we bought the house because of the views and also for the privacy of the house because it's back up to the lake. So, and I just want to say that there's zero considerations and consultation before this thing was built, during or before the constructions. I didn't find out about this construction until one day I came home and then my grass was ruined. And then I asked my neighbor and he told me that he's building a gazebo. So my question is, who did the measurement from his gazebo to the edge of the grass, which is 50 feet, apparently. I don't think there's 50 feet in from his gazebo to the end of his property line. And also, I believe that our property doesn't the last 10 feet of the property actually belongs to the government, as I'm aware. So
I think the property line goes all the way to the lake.
Because when I moved in, there was grass on there. This, the last 10 feet actually paid by the government, and then we don't build on that.
Don't say that, we might send you a bill.
Maybe it's not, but that's what I thought. Anyways, the rules is 67 feet, and I believe it has changed to 74 feet in 1994. So they changed that, so I'm sure there's a reason why they changed that to 74. So anyways, I want to say that at the current location of the gazebo, I think it has affected my privacy, greatly affect my privacy because the location, I think if I sit in the back of my house, inside in the dining room, I have to close the blind if they use this gazebo because they can see me directly and I can see them directly. So I probably have to close all my blinds if they use this. And this thing, actually, I wouldn't even call this a gazebo. It's like a size of a garage. So, and it has electricity in this thing, so they can operate this thing 24/7 in winter and summer. So, and also, I think that the enjoyment is building a point on my expense of my view of the view of my lake, the privacy, and also it has really depreciated the value of my house. And lastly, I think that if we pass this permit today, there's going to be more of this gazebo going to build upon like around the lake, so which will greatly affect the neighborhood, I think. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Hang on. There might be a question here.
Yeah, thanks for your delegation. I appreciate it. This is a tough one. Because he could build a gazebo, is it 17 feet to the north, closer to his house?
Yeah.
If he built a gazebo 17 feet closer to his house, how would that impact your property?
That means he has to build like way on a coast, like attached to his house.
Well, I don't think it would be attached, but it would be closer to his house.
The land is not that big. There's like 67 feet. It's like from right from there to there. The land's not that big.
The house is 88 feet back from the from the property line. So he'd have 20 feet there to work in. It's one of those be careful what you wish for situations because you want to think about this. Because if we were to say that it shouldn't be where it is, then in all likelihood it will move back within.
If this committee has the authority to say you have to move your gazebo, and he will likely build it closer to his house, closer to your house, my question would be, if he moved the gazebo 17 feet towards his house, how would that affect your view? Would it be better? Would it be worse? Would it be the same?
For sure, the privacy-wise, it would be better for my privacy because they can't see me if they move it 20 feet back.
They wouldn't be able to see you?
No, that's for sure. The view, I can't tell right now. But to they build this fence, I don't know how high they're going to build this fence, so I can't really picture how this fence is going to look like. But for sure, my privacy will be better than now. Because it is right directly. It's like right, because they build it on the edge of our property line. Like right on the edge of the property line.
Okay, but I understand there's no variance there. They're within the regulations?
No variance for it's conditioned on the zoning agreement.
What's the side yard setback for?
That'd be 4 feet.
4 feet?
Or two, sorry. For a detached structure. Sorry, just one moment. For a detached accessory structure,
They are within the guidelines for side yard variances.
Yeah, okay, but it's right on the edge, so I can see them. They can see me. My kitchen window is wide open, so if they use this, I have to pretty much close all my windows. So I have to give up my view.
Right. Okay.
If it came back. Wouldn't it still be in the line of the kitchen window?
Like, no. It will be just on one side. But the privacy-wise, I mean, I can't see them then. There's no way I can see them after that. I mean, I can still open some of my window, but now my living room window, my dining room window, my kitchen, all I can see is this thing. And I pay so much property tax because of the view and because of the privacy. So this has affected my view and my privacy. So
yeah, we're just asking the questions to make sure you're comfortable with what it is that you're asking for, because he does have existing rights.
Okay.
And we just want to make sure that what you're asking for is not going to create a more onerous situation on you than what you currently have.
No. I mean, this is pretty bad already. I mean, I'm not gaining
anything. We're going to go by, we can only base our decisions on these pictures and what you're telling us.
Yeah.
Okay, any final comments or no? You're good? Okay, thank you very much. Is there anybody else here on this matter that I haven't called? No? Okay, Norbert, back to you.
We haven't finished the work yet. There is some landscaping that's supposed to go around it, that's supposed to soften the building from the view. I did build it further away from the house so that it wouldn't be close to their deck and stuff. And we did build it down so that their views were maintained. It is the gazebo, and you can see it on the picture, is below the line of all the main floor windows. So that was taken into consideration as far as any kind of views. I understand it does impact them a little bit, and we're trying to soften that with the landscaping.
I have a question.
Yep. Go ahead, Ned.
First of all, do you do this for...
I've been doing this for 30 years.
So how does this happen? Do you just go in and build a gazebo without checking the city of Winnipeg?
No, we rushed it. I made the mistake for sure. We wanted to build it before the snow so they could enjoy it first thing in the spring, and I was within the zoning rules, just not the caveat. I didn't realize there was a caveat involved. So we were going to go get the permit. It was just a matter of we were doing it after the fact. Yeah.
And how long is the – I'm looking at the picture that Mr. Skibinski, Skibinski sent me. How long is the actual gazebo from
– 20 feet. Oh, 20. From the house?
No. Just the length of the gazebo.
It's 20 feet.
It's 20 feet. And how high is it?
It's 12 feet high. But in talking to Bob, we decided that we don't like the second tier on it, so we're actually going to drop that.
You're going to drop the second tier?
Well, in the design that we based it on, and with the lighting and everything, it gives it a really nice glow at night, but Bob's saying he doesn't really like it, so we're looking to lower that if we can. So it'll be lower by a foot.
Okay.
Built on a foundation?
It's built on a slab.
On a slab?
A concrete slab.
And how far in the ground does the slab go?
It's just 6 inches.
6 inches?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm assuming, Norbert, you would be the guy that would be responsible to correct this situation.
I would.
Any other questions, councillors?
No.
Maybe the cost of the whole project was like $50,000. It's a major undertaking to move it or to change it.
Is the slab movable?
Pardon?
Is the slab movable?
No. Definitely not. But the landscaping would have to be changed and the gazebo would have to be probably dismantled and moved. Yeah. All the retaining walls has all been done. Just the planting hasn't been done.
And you can, I guess there's no restrictions on planting trees there.
There isn't. That's like the view, like the caveat wasn't intended for the views necessarily, but I understand that's part of the concerns here tonight. But again, I'm a landscape designer, my wife's a landscape architect. We intend on making this a very attractive building. Bob bought it on the basis that it's going to be an attractive-looking building.
Have you made any attempt to talk with the neighbors that are in
I did talk to Wayne Skibinski. We had a nice conversation. I mentioned that we were moving the roof down a foot. He thought that was a good choice, and I said that anything that we can do to make it amenable to you, please give me some suggestions and I'll pass them on and we'll try and make it as attractive as possible.
But no direct conversations with the neighbor at number 60?
No.
Have you got enough information, Councilor?
Sorry. Maybe Bob has, sorry.
Bob, maybe the owner has...
I have spoken with the neighbor next door briefly about it. At first he was concerned we were making a fence, and I said no, we didn't want a fence, we wanted a gazebo, something that would look nice. And certainly our intent was not to ruin anyone's view, as has been said in the report as well. I mean, if we put in big spruce trees, that would be far more difficult for people to see out of their windows and see down the lake. And we purposely had it built into the ground so it would be lower. And by lowering the roof another, I think it's about 18 inches, that'll help a little bit as well. But certainly the intent was just to have a nice place to spend some time in the summer and in the spring and the fall.
Yeah, the front end of the gazebo is lower than a fence would be. It's like that's the impact that I'm doing. Like I brought it down so that you know, if somebody was building a fence there, it's lower than that at the one end. At the other end, I realize it's higher.
Are you talking about the end closest to the house?
The slope is quite steep, and so we've dug it in, so that the front end is closest to the houses is quite low. Like if you stand on the ground in front of the retaining wall, the roof you can literally look down on it. Like it's about this high at the one end.
Okay. Do you have any suggestions on?
I could just I would have to disagree with my neighbor. I think if it was moved back, it's not going to change the privacy piece, and that's not something that we wanted to affect his privacy. I know we have a deck, they have a deck, and that's always, you know. But moving it closer to the house isn't going to really solve the problem.
It would have created more. They would have been closer to each other.
Okay. Well, either way, this is... this is the sort of situation that we're not going to be popular either way, decision we make. So I have no more questions.
No. Okay, you gentlemen can stand down. Do you have a motion in mind, Councillor?
I have a question of the administration. We're talking about a zoning agreement amendment here that's been contravened, and the intent of that amendment, was it for aesthetic reasons or was it for flooding reasons?
Yeah, it was primarily for the flooding reasons. And when researching this file, we went back quite a few years, and there was nothing in the original planning report, but what was stated after for similar types of applications through the original zoning and subdivision is that it was to provide for an adequate amount of space, but it's not defined what the adequate amount of space, rear yard space, in the event of a 100-year storm. So that 42 feet would be consumed by water, potentially, leaving, quote-unquote, adequate space for a rear yard. So there's nothing measured. It's kind of damage to property, primarily. Nothing about aesthetics or views was mentioned in it.
Okay, well... I'm ready to make a motion.
Councillor?
I'll move the report of the Winnipeg Public Service taken as read.
All those in favor? Contrary? Carried.
Receipt of the representations be concluded.
All those in favor? Contrary? Carried.